Amen? That ring a bell? It's so, so important. And having fear. Go to Job 28. Go to Job 28. And we're not going to review everything we did last week, of course, but touch on one or two things. And yes, it meant running through the Bible, and we're doing a lot of Bible running. So before Psalms is the book of Job. And in Job 28, everybody can find Psalms usually pretty quick. Basically, to have the middle of your Bible, fall right open to it, then back up to the book of Job. And 28:28, talking about the fear of the Lord. Verse 28 says, "And unto man he said, Behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom." As we talked about last week, trying to define fear of the Lord, what it means, what it represents. And it's wisdom. It's the beginning of wisdom. It's the beginning of understanding. You will never know God and understand his book outside of fearing God and have a fear for his word. A reverence for him. A reverence for the word of God. People say, well, that's just a book. A lot of people out there, you talk with them, that's just a book written by men. No, yeah, God used men to write it. But it's the word of God. And we're to fear him, the creator of all the universe, this world, the giver of life. Fear him. Have a reverence for our God. That means a priority for our God. Or you will not grow. You will not come Christ close to Christ. You will not be saved outside of the fear of God. Because there's an acknowledgement, in the word of God of a place called hell. There's a heaven where God resides, and there's a hell. And there's a fear. There should be a reverential fear of our holy God. And through that, an adherence to his word, a desire to please him, to honor him, to respect him. And go to Proverbs chapter 8. Back over to the right, Proverbs chapter 8. Verse 13, we looked at this one last week. In verse 13, the Bible says, the fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Now again, your attitude about right or wrong. Fearing God should put in us a fear to do evil, to do wrong. We should hate it. Understanding of the Word of God tells us how there's such consequences in disobeying God. And so, fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. It is wisdom. It is instruction. It is understanding. And from it precipitates this hate for evil. And also what it precipitates in Ephesians chapter 5, if you go there in the New Testament, it precipitates an attitude of submission. Ephesians chapter 5, and look at verse 21. The Bible says, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. How we interact with our God and how we interact with everyone else changes when you're in the have a fear of God, a respect for God. And so we need to submit. I'm not the boss. I'm not in charge. God, you are. I want to please you. See? And so that's pretty much what we talked about last week. It brings about a particular submission. And a humility. We're told in Romans 11:20, we looked at last week, be not high-minded, but fear. And we continually, as we went through this initial lesson, made the connecting illustration of the human relationship of father and son, father and daughter, mother, parents and children. How by God's design, it is so essential that with great love and nurturing of parents comes the need and the exercise for discipline, correction. There should be a fear, a respect that's built into the child for the authority of mom and dad, which will again aid them throughout their whole life as that transition of respect and submission to authority. Just the neighborhood policeman. Government in general. The Bible tells us that government was established by God. Now, we may not like this government, that government, who's in those positions. at any particular time. But the Bible tells us we're to respect and obey those in authority. And for the young people, and I'm telling you that a lot of our society today, our young people, are growing up without any respect and fear of authority, to their detriment and to the detriment of our nation. See? How thankful I am for those, be it in the house of God, the family of God, who are raising their children according to the scriptures, and our young people that are growing up with the respect for authority. But I'm afraid the majority is not Bible, are not Bible believers. So there's a different attitude out there. And our future leaders of our country have a totally different perspective in general. And it won't go well for our nation if that's the case. And where does it start? It starts with me. It starts with you. Our respect and fear of God determines how we live. We're to train our children the same way. And God help us. Fear God. You fear God? Does it matter day to day how you think, how you operate, what you do, what you say? You know, Bible, and we'll look at verses about this, but happy is that man. There's a sense of peace and security and stability for the child of God who fears his God. Fears that I don't want to offend you, Lord. I want to please you. I don't stay far away from the edge, so to speak, where I might cross into sin. I don't want to displease you. And I well know that, Lord, you love me and you can bring chastisement into my life. And we'll look at that too. All under the heading of fearing God. Do you fear God? Now, we moved from sort of the defining or over introduction of fearing God to what's God's attitude towards the fear of God, towards that. What's his perspective? Does he require it? Well, yes, certainly he does. And we looked at Deuteronomy chapter 10. Verse 12, quickly, that was the only one we looked at as we began this segment. In Deuteronomy chapter 10, look at verse 12. And it says, "And now Israel, what doth the Lord thy God require of thee?" So this is a requirement of God, but to fear the Lord thy God, to walk in all his ways, and to love him, and to serve him. Serve the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul. It's required. It's a commandment of God that I fear him. And when I do, it's good. It should be required of a child to fear dad and mom. I don't mean, as we said last week, that children cower because of child abuse. I'm not talking about that at all. And the world has a hard time, society has a hard time differentiating between godly, biblical disciplining of children and abuse. And they collectively put it all in one basket. I mean, it's a fearful thing in society now to mention the word spanking. For goodness sakes, where have we come to? That was not the nation that started. No, there was a God-fearing nation before. And there were kids who were taught to respect their parents and obey their parents and not cuss them out and not be unruly. You can't improve upon the Word of God. It's the book to follow. It is life's manual. Ecclesiastes chapter 12. Sounds Proverbs, Ecclesiastes. And of course, chapter 12 being the last chapter, it's a summation now. Solomon, at the leading of the Holy Spirit, is summarizing here, but look at verse 13 of the last chapter, chapter 12. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. So he's saying, here's a wrap up. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. And even Bible believers, we get away from that at times if we're not careful. If we're not careful, we can be lulled into a sense of security throughout the week as long as we fear God on Sunday. But from Monday to Saturday, it's not like we're living wildly, but more of a sense of, okay, now I'm in the driver's seat now. I have my agenda, I have my things to do, and I will operate this way all week long. Not committing any heinous crimes or sins, but no doubt disregarding that fear of God, that attitude, that dependence upon God day by day. And then coming Sunday, we got to be careful that we don't fall into that. The same fearing of God and loving God and wanting to obey God and amen, amen, rallying in praise to our God today, that should be tomorrow, and the next day, it should be every day. It fosters a great relationship with our Heavenly Father, and it affects our behavior, affects our attitudes towards others who need to fear God. You can't fear. You don't fear God. You know, there's no repentance that can come for a person to be saved. Many can claim in their own personal life when they get saved, they were scared of hell. That was the fear of hell is what drove them to God, to Christ, to be saved. Others is more of a drawing towards Christ and needing their sins forgiven and knowing they were sinners headed for hell. Whatever it is, again, fear of the Lord. That's the conclusion of the whole matter, Solomon says. Fear God. Keep his commandments. That's like a summation. That's God's attitude. He's speaking to you and me through Solomon here. And you know what's wonderful? God takes pleasure in those who do fear him. Turn, if you would, to Psalm 147. Back up a few books to Psalm 147. Psalm 147, notice verse 11. The Lord taketh pleasure in them that fear him, in those that hope in his mercy. He takes pleasure. You know why? Because those that fear God live differently. When I live in the fear of God, I live differently. My mind is where it should be. My body and behavior and attitudes are in line. Again, the illustration of father and son. I take pleasure when my sons would be obedient, would do that which I've told them to do. I take pleasure in their honor and respect of their father. So much the more a heavenly father who knows our minds and our hearts. It says that he takes pleasure in them that fear him. It's not that he takes pleasure in all those who are cowards before him, you know, cowering down. No, but it's talking about what fear of the Lord produces in their lives, their behaviors, their attitudes, their obedience. That's why he takes pleasure. I don't take pleasure in my kids when they were little, that they were fearful of the rod of correction, of the Board of Education. No, that's not what I take pleasure in. I take pleasure in what it has precipitated in their lives and how they honor, respect, and obey. Go shovel the driveway. Yes, sir. I take pleasure in that. Not that I'm some filled up with ego and pride dominating over another one. But it's as God has ordained that it should be. And I know that if they have that love and respect for mom and dad, that respect for authority, that attitude of fear and respect and reverence for authority, it'll behoove them in all of their lives. So important to instill that in young people. For God takes pleasure when you and I fear the Lord. He takes notice of those who do. Psalm 33. You don't fear God, you're in trouble. You're kidding yourself. Well, I go to church. Well, good. You don't fear God, you're in trouble. You're not living the way that God would have you live to please him. You know, attitudes mean a whole lot. And you know that a young person can obey but they can obey defiantly. You know what I'm saying? Well, they'll get it done, what you've told them to do, but the spirit's not right. So the Christian can, yes, I read my Bible. I pray. 2 minutes, 3 minutes, 5 minutes. I do these things. And, you know, the box checking off thing. And I go to church. But I do them out of duty. It's not out of fear, reverence, honor, and love of God. The Christian that operates that way doesn't get what God wants to give them. They don't have that delight. Ultimately, I think for many who are very involved, this term Christian burnout, they've been operating in the flesh, just doing duty, and they don't have that relationship that makes them want to do it and wants to do it more and more and forever. Knowing that it goes well for you when you do. When God is up here and you're here. When we become casual and we bring God down to our level, then we're making decisions. Changes everything. And even as parents and children, as the children become adults, you know, it's wonderful. It's a different relationship now with them and dad. You know, we're not using the board of instruction anymore. And by the way, you shouldn't have to. By the time they hit teens, man, you shouldn't have to anymore. But as adults themselves, there is friendship. It's a different relationship. But the respect always maintained. Honor thy mother and thy father. Until thou becomest an adult? That's all it says, doesn't it? Always. See? Our parents, our grandparents, honor them. See? And that attitude, it just permeates every attitude. There's a humility about those people that fear God. Young people, it's wonderful. You see it right off. You see it in their attitude. You see it in their obedience. You see them it honoring the elderly. How wonderful, how satisfying, gratifying that is to see, as opposed to society's young people making fun of old people. They don't fear God. They don't fear mom and dad. They don't fear anything. In our society, our school systems, teaching kids, you know, love yourself. You're number one. You have rights. You're this, you're that. This attitude is so selfish. It's permeating the minds of our youth. And it's totally opposite of what God can use and bless them in their lives. So God takes pleasure in them. And he takes notice of those who do. Verse chapter 33 of Psalm, verse 18, it says, behold, the eye of the Lord is upon them that fear him, upon them that hope in his mercy. And he does take pleasure in them. God knows all things. But consider even, the parent, you take notice of the attitudes that are good, the positive, the obedience, the respectful attitude. You just take notice. And you take pleasure. And so does God. He takes notice when you and I fear him. Because you sing the songs differently. You don't just sing and read the words. You doing the next verse? Head is not in the game. But when you consider the words and who you're singing to, it's different. He takes delight in every individual. His acts induce it among men. When we take notice, Ecclesiastes chapter 3, Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, again, and go to chapter 3. And notice verse 14. I know that whatsoever God doeth, it shall be forever. Nothing can be put to it, nor anything taken from it. And God doeth it that men should fear before him. His acts, his mighty deeds, his mighty works, and what he can do should keep us where we need to be. Again, the illustration of the mom and dad, the dad and son. You know, knowing how strong dad is. He's got all the answers. Never did he have all the answers. But we don't tell them that till they're older. But that respect of God's of dad's strength, he knows everything. There's a reliance, a dependence upon him. And it's induced in their hearts to know that. That's what this is saying about our God, his mighty acts, his creation. It does something to us when we acknowledge this is the hand of God, the power of God. Again, verse 14, 3:14. I know that whatsoever God doeth, it shall be forever. Nothing can be put to it, nor anything taken from it. And God doeth it that men should fear before him. His acts, they induce this attitude of fear and respect for our God. He provides for it in the heart of man, which goes in conjunction with what we just said. Now go to Jeremiah 32. Ecclesiastes, Song of Solomon, Isaiah, Jeremiah. Jeremiah 32, and notice near the end of the chapter, 39 and 40. Jeremiah 32, 39 and 40. And I will give them one heart and one way that they may fear me forever for the good of them and of their children after them. And I will make an everlasting covenant with them that I will not turn away from them to do them good, but I will put my fear in their hearts that they shall not depart from me. You see, God has purpose in the fear that we're supposed to have inside of us. Respect, reverence, obedience, these all come as a result of a fear of God, a healthy fear of God. And the same thing in a young person. Dad, it's your job to instill that fear, respect, and reverence for mom and dad in the child. It's our responsibility as fathers to instill that in their hearts. That there's authority over you. In the attitudes today, it's not there. What is my job with my children? And it behooves them, is it, that it may go well. It behooves them. It's for their lives. It's not for me and my ego. It's not for God and his ego. He wants to bless his children. Therefore, he instills fear in their hearts. He put that in my heart. Holy Spirit taking the word of God brought conviction and fear of God into my heart. I didn't have that before. I was raised in a church, and we weren't taught from the Bible, though the profession was that it was based upon the Bible. At any rate, I will say this. As a young person, because I had parents, though not biblically based in their faith, they did apply biblical principles without knowing. There was discipline in our home. And I respected my father because I didn't like the alternative. And they would faithfully do the alternative. That helped me. And I remember going to the churches. And they weren't like this. These are the big, it's Catholic, big churches. And I do remember this, and I believe it's in connection with the authority and respect and fear I had of dad and mom, that carried over in other areas, including in church. Again, I wasn't saved. I didn't know biblical truths. But I will say this much, as I looked as a little kid at that big church, you know what I thought? God is big. And my father respected God. I feared my father. And while he may not have had everything in place, biblically, I owe so much to him and to my mother. Because it had effect in my life. Even I didn't know Christ. It instilled in me a respect, a submission that helped me, protected me. I got in some trouble, but I could have got a lot more trouble because I could be good at it. But I didn't. Fear helped me, protected me. By God's design, my dad put a fear in my heart. God puts a fear in their hearts for their good, for our good. We should welcome it. Respect him. Highly regard God. Honor his word. See, no attention to the book. You're kidding yourself. You say, I fear God. Because here's the rule book. It's a love letter, but it's a rule book. And if you fear God, you want to know the rules. You want to know what's out of bounds. God instills that. He puts that in our hearts. In the heart of man. It's a wonderful thing. All right, who should fear God? Well, I guess collectively, we could easily say everyone, right? But specifically, God has dealt with that in the Word of God. Leadership. Go to Exodus 18. Exodus 18. How important it is for leaders. If they have no fear of God, man, they're operating on their own. Exodus chapter 18, if you look at verse 21 with me. It says, moreover, thou shalt provide out of all the people able men, such as fear God, men of truth, hating covetousness, and place such over them to be rulers of thousands and rulers of hundreds, rulers of fifties and rulers of tens. All the echelon of leadership from the top down. Fear God. That's the people you put in authority. And that's been a real problem in our nation. We're to pray for those that are in authority. Pray for God's wisdom, for God's guidance and direction. But man, for many years, we've not had a man and men collectively that fear God in leadership of our nation. And that's why our nation is going down from the strength that it was. The founding fathers feared, they may not have agreed on everything of the Bible, but they feared God. And God gave these colonists this victory in independence from a far greater nation, militarily wise. Their navy, their soldiers, their weapons. God gave them victory. It was miraculous that our nation became independent. It was the hand of God. Why? God blessed them because they feared God. See? Would to God our nation would be like that again, huh? And is that the direction it's going? Well, you look at your future by your youth. We've not given and equipped our youth and our nation with the proper fear of God and selflessness. God help us. You know, we pray, we beg God for his mercy to continue, that he not bring a mighty hand down upon us, some other nations. Let me tell you, this China thing, it's real. They're a powerhouse and they have a goal. And outside of God, we don't have a hope. We need God. We pray for revival, for the fear of God to be back into our nation, to our leaders. And we pray for them. We need to be responsible ourselves in our own homes. Fear God. As a church, fear God. Do His will. Please Him. That He can bless us. So leadership, very important. 2 Samuel chapter 23. And notice with me the first three verses. Now, these be the last words of David. David, you know how you always, words of a man on his deathbed, right? The last words. They're important. People listen. Excuse me. David, the son of Jesse, said, and the man who was raised up on high, the anointed of the God of Jacob, and the sweet psalmist of Israel said, the Spirit of the Lord spake by me, and His word was in my tongue. The God of Israel said, the Rock of Israel spake to me, He that ruleth over men must be just, ruling, leading, guiding in the fear of God. Deathbed statement. Pretty important. That's what we need in our nation. At one time, this nation had that. Beg God for it more. Yes, leadership. Let's do one more this morning. Who should fear God? Believers. It kind of goes without saying, but if you would, turn to Psalm 89. Psalm 89. Psalm 89, verse 7, God is greatly to be feared in the assembly of the saints and to be had in reverence of all them that are about Him. That's you and me. That's every child of God. Greatly to be feared and had in reverence. Does that describe you and your relationship with God? I know He's our God, He's our Father, and I think more often than not, He's our great resource. We look to Him in time of need. Christ, He's come. Oh, dear God, we drop to our knees. All of a sudden, there's this submission because of a need. But the day-to-day life, the day-to-day living, and this is for me as much as it is for you, to fear my God, that He would direct my thoughts, direct my steps, direct my deeds, that they might be pleasing to Him. And in that submission and obedience, that healthiness of relationship, comes the stability and security. It doesn't mean there'll be no troubles in life. But the strength and the stability to face every problem and every trouble that comes. It comes because of my walk with God. I fear God. He'll take care of me. Young person, I may do this, I may do that. I have this problem, this and that, the car. I can go to my Father who will help me. There's just that confidence. I'm not alone. I don't know how to fix this thing. Hey, Dad, just that dependence, that go-to. You're not alone. Christian, you're not alone if you fear God. Father, thank You for the Word of God. Help us, Lord, as we continue this study in the fear of the Lord. Lord, make proper application. May our relationship with You be such as is pleasing to You with submission, fear, reverence, honor, respect, that it affects our daily life. Bless us, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You're dismissed.